This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we will be talking about the Red Sea. Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought.
And we'll have music from Sivasa Laupati and Jacqueline Jewell. Don't miss a thing.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today. We're so glad you have chosen to join us.
Good morning, friends. We are blessed to be here with you this morning, and we're officially counting down to winter. There are 17 days left for the official start of snow season.
And we can't wait until those snowy days, right?
At least in some parts of the country.
That's true. What are you looking forward to this winter? Send us a message on our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us know what you enjoy most about winter. We'd love to hear from you. But let's begin this morning by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1900, German physicist Max Planck published his groundbreaking study on the impact of radiation on a black body material, giving birth to the quantum theory of modern physics. Planck's discoveries remind us of the limitations of human knowledge and understanding. Just as quantum theory challenged classical physics, there are aspects of God's creation and divine wisdom that surpass our human comprehension. This encourages us to have humility and recognize God's vast wisdom and sovereignty.
You know, quantum theory introduced the concept of the unseen and the role of faith in scientific understanding. Similarly, in the realm of spirituality, faith plays a significant role as believers trust in the unseen and rely on faith in God's promises and existence. And as we embrace our faith in the unseen God, we can deepen our spiritual journey. And today we encourage you to claim God's promises and draw near to Him so that you too can deepen your own spiritual walk with Him.
Amen. The Red Sea is a special chapter in the book of nature that demonstrates the creativity and skill of our Heavenly Creator. Let's tune in to today's Reflections of Hope episode as Taj Pakleb takes us on an adventure into a treasure trove.
Bordering the Indian Ocean, between Northeast Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, lies an ancient body of water known as a place of deliverance. It is one of the busiest waterways in the world. Ships of all sizes, loaded with cargo, are often seen in the distance, silently gliding through the water, delivering commerce to this ancient land. It is a narrow sea, only 190 miles wide at its widest point. The air here is hot and humid, but the water is warm and inviting. For humans, there's a natural draw to water, especially in an arid desert climate like this. Not only is it necessary for survival, but there's something about water that beckons us to hop in, splash around, and immerse ourselves. The Red Sea has some of the hottest and saltiest water in the world. This is due in part to the evaporation by the hot desert sun and the low amount of rainfall it receives each year. Its famous high salt content contributes to incredibly clear waters, making it a true paradise for explorers. The Red Sea is a place of refreshment for swimmers, wind and kite surfers, and divers like me. Going beneath the surface and penetrating the depths of this body of water is truly a breathtaking experience. The Red Sea is a special chapter in the book of nature that demonstrates the creativity and skill of the divine author and the heavenly creator. So many creatures, so many colors, so many designs to admire and lessons to learn. After exploring these wonderful waters this past week, deliverance is the lesson that stands out the most to me. You see, the Red Sea brings renewal and refreshment. It is a place of deliverance from the burning heat. Today, many find relief from the hot desert sun in the cool, clear waters of the Red Sea. In the same way that people find relief and rejuvenation in the Red Sea today, thousands of years ago, God's people also found renewal and deliverance in these same waters. Recorded in the book of Exodus, the Bible tells how God miraculously delivered the children of Israel from the enemy, the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. With the pursuing army behind them and the impassable Red Sea before, the Israelites were certain that their doom was sealed. But God parted the waters of the Red Sea. He is the one that makes a way out of no way. And Moses and the Israelites walked across it on dry land. It was their passageway to freedom, a birth canal to new life and a new beginning, a way of liberation to a place where they would no longer be in bondage. No more would they serve the oppressor. And what God did for them way back then, He will truly do for us today. My friend, are you in bondage? Perhaps a slave to the will of the enemy? Captive to the call of your own sinful flesh? Are you being pursued by the regrets of the past? Overwhelmed by the uncertainties of the future? Then come to the Red Sea of Jesus' blood, where deliverance and renewal is found. Jesus said that when we know the truth will make us free. And here's the truth. The divine deliverer came from the heavenly promised land to the Egypt of our world. He came to experience our oppression firsthand. He has borne all our affliction upon Himself, and He has shed His precious blood for our sins. And now He desires to wash us in the Red Sea of His blood, to immerse us in the waters of His grace. For this is where freedom and deliverance is found. So follow the path that God has opened for you. Despite your fears, move forward in faith. Do not be afraid of the enemies behind you, nor of the obstacles before you. Just move forward in faith and see the salvation of the Lord. After living on the Red Sea this past week, I've experienced physical, mental, and spiritual renewal. Going through these same waters and remembering what happened here thousands of years ago has rejuvenated my spirit and refreshed my soul. My friends, you may never be able to come and explore the Red Sea here in Egypt. But did you know that there's another one that you can make it to? But this sea isn't found on the earth, and it's definitely not located in the desert. The book of Revelation describes this sea as the sea of glass mingled with fire. The fiery Red Sea of glass, reflecting the fire of God's glorious presence, is the ultimate symbol of final deliverance. And it is on that shore of this incredible sea that God's people will stand victorious in final deliverance. No more affliction, no more oppression, and let us pray that we shall all meet on that beautiful shore.
Today, Jesus says to you and me, come, come unto me. Let's meditate on this thought as we enjoy a musical blessing titled, Come Unto Me, from Sivasa Laupati and Jacqueline Jewell.
I see the hurt in your eyes when He took your love and walked away. And I know how it hurts to feel the crumbling inside. You're feeling hopeless, like there's no escape. Well, I have a friend named Jesus who has walked along tracks of your tears. He's promised rest for you. He said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now let not your heart be troubled. He said, come unto me and I will things that I have spoken unto you.
Mm-hmm. like no one's inside, with no one here to tell you your life's worth. Well, I have a friend named Jesus who has walked along the path of your fears. He's promised rest for you. He said that I will never leave you nor forsake you now. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Give it all to God for these things that I have spoken.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us there.
We have to take a short break now, but when we return, Faith for Today will share this morning's devotional thought. First, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Hi, honey. What did you do to my car?
Well, I was driving in the snow and there was all the salt on the road and it just got all over the car. But if you go in and get cleaning materials, I'll wash your car for you.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, great. Here you go. I got something.
Apple juice to wash the car?
Well, it says freshly pressed apple juice, 100% juice, no added sugar, and it's made in the United States of America.
Don't you know that all the sugar naturally occurring in there is going to make a sticky mess on your car?
Oh, but there's no added sugar.
Well, this is naturally occurring sugar.
Oh.
So you just go back there and get something proper for me.
Okay. Here you go.
Oh, that's much better. Water's much better. But do you think this little bit of water's going to wash this big old car?
Well, we can try.
Oh.
We'll start with the window.
All right.
Okay, you ready?
Some things husbands have to put up with here.
I know. Here. Hey, honey, this looks great now.
I don't think so.
No?
No. Come and take a look.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
Now you get in there and you get the right quantity of water for me.
All righty. Will this do?
Oh, that's much better. Much, much better.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Now stand back there.
All right. You know, many people think that they can drink caffeinated drinks, tea, coffee, and juice all day, and that would be sufficient fluid for them.
Well, you know, the problem with that is that caffeinated drinks actually suck the water out of your system, and the fruit juice has too much sugar, so it'd be much better just to drink plain water.
That's right, and water is a good cleansing agent. Fruit juice, tea, coffee, they're not going to clean you.
And but, you know, the other problem is that thirst is not a good indicator, because people don't drink enough if they just go by thirst.
That's right, you need to drink at least a third more, so it's better to drink by volume. And let's say, have a bottle and drink several bottles a day, or 6 to 8 glasses of water. So here you go, doctor's orders.
Well, I'll drink to that, Doc. That's mighty good stuff.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
When Wilma Rudolph was born on June 23, 1940, no one would have suspected that she would one day become one of the most recognized athletes in the world and one of the greatest female athletes the United States had ever seen. Born prematurely, Wilma was only 4 pounds, 5 ounces at birth. Her early childhood would be plagued by illnesses, including a crippling bout with polio. Wilma's family was large. She was the 20th of 22 children. Her father worked as a railroad porter and handyman, while her mother worked as a servant in the homes of wealthier families in their hometown of Clarksville, Tennessee. For the first years of her life, Wilma stayed at home and was schooled by her mother. After discovering that she had polio, her mother took her to the hospital twice a week. Unfortunately, they could not go to the local hospital because it was for whites only. The nearest hospital that would take them in, and one that they could afford, was Meharry Hospital at Fisk University in Nashville, 50 miles away. Fortunately for Wilma, she soon recovered from her illness, and by age 12, she could walk normally. She immediately entered athletics, joining the junior high basketball team. During this time, she earned the nickname Skeeter because, as her coach said, she was little and fast and always in my way. By her sophomore year, she was the starting guard of the team and led them to a state championship. During one of her basketball games, Wilma was discovered by Ed Temple, the coach of the famous Tiger Bells women's track team at the Tennessee State University. From first seeing her, Ed Temple knew that Wilma was born to run. Because Burt High School, that Wilma was attending, did not have a track and field team, Wilma was invited to train at the university's summer training camp and would continue attending university practices. In 1956, at the young age of 16, Wilma Rudolph went to the Olympics in Melbourne, Australia. It was here that she first entered the international spotlight, a world-renowned track star. She won the bronze medal in the 4x100-meter relay. 4 years later, the Olympics were on again, and this time in Rome, Italy. Now, it was truly Wilma's time to shine, and she would be the star of the games that year. She won 3 gold medals in the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash, and the 4x100-meter relay. Wilma was the first American woman ever to win 3 gold medals in the Olympics. Despite her new status as an international celebrity, the realities of segregation still existed in her hometown of Clarksville, Tennessee. A victory parade was planned in her honor, and Wilma had to fight to keep it fully integrated, unlike the tradition of the city until that time. Wilma's victory parade would be the first ever non-segregated event in Clarksville. Afterward, she would continue to fight to permanently remove the segregation laws of the city. For a girl who was born with everything against her, poor, in a large family, the wrong color, in a white-run world, bad health topped by a crippling disease, the achievements of Wilma Rudolph are nothing less than incredible. An astounding feat for any person. Wilma truly fought against all odds to get to where she was. Today, I want to talk to you about fighting against all odds. In the book of Exodus, it tells us that there arose up a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph nor his God. And Exodus 5 says, "Then Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working.' That same day, Pharaoh gave his order to the slave drivers and the overseers in charge of the people. 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota.' They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.' Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies." When the Pharaoh first rose to power, nothing changed. But once he got settled into his position, he started thinking. And looking out over Egypt, he saw the Israelites and said, "There sure is a whole lot of them. There may be more of them than there are of us. Let's deal wisely with them." Moses was the catalyst for this change when he came and asked if he could start a worship service for the Israelites. Pharaoh changes his mind and devises a strategy to control them, a strategy to attack them, a strategy to belittle them, a strategy to intimidate them. Now, most people in this kind of circumstance would begin to see themselves as the victim. But listen to me closely here. What is happening to God's people here is not a test, but a compliment. The Pharaoh didn't attack the children of Israel because they were worthless. He didn't attack the children of Israel because they had no future. He didn't attack the children of Israel because they didn't have power. He attacked them because they were mighty and strong and growing and had potential. I want to talk to somebody today who feels like they are being complimented today. The devil is not attacking you because you're a nothing and a nobody. The devil is attacking you because he's afraid of you. He's afraid of your power. He's afraid of your influence. God wants you to understand today where you are. You don't think you have power, and you don't think you have influence, and you might not think you have potential because you always feel like you are under attack. But the attack is a sign that you do have all of those. That's why the devil always tries to take away your advantages. They said, "Let's have them make bricks, but give them no straw. Let's put them in a position where they need more than what they have access to, because if you let them have too much, you won't be able to control them." But God's power allows you to keep on making bricks anyways. Some of you grew up broke, but you made it anyway. You've come from a broken home, but you made it anyway. You're a single mom, but you made it anyway. You were lonely, but you made it anyway. You didn't have a car to get to work, but you showed up anyway. If you think that God was blessing you when things were going well, I'm telling you today that he's blessing you more when you're going through trials. That's why Paul said, when you're going through tribulation, glory in tribulation. God doesn't need you to praise him when things are going perfect. He needs you to praise him when the whole world is crashing down. Today, you have to decide. Are you going to believe the blessing, or are you going to believe the bricks? If you believe in the hard bricks, you'll give up on this blessing. But don't let the bricks fool you. God promises he's going to bless you. He's going to grow you up in this. The Bible says that the more that the Pharaoh afflicted them, the more they grew. God will incubate your greatness through your frustrations. The more frustrating the environment, the more fruitful the individual. The frustration is not the enemy. It's God's way of moving you to a place where you can be more fruitful. God's ultimate plan for you is to help you find victory against all odds. So let's go out and see how many bricks we can make today.
Thank you, Pastor Roy, for encouraging us this morning.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We will be featuring stories on how Hope Channel is changing lives around the world, a devotional thought, and a delightful recipe from the Good Food Kitchen.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about what the Bible teaches on a variety of topics, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. Bible.study.
And we've enjoyed spending time with you this morning, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow.
And like we always do, we have a promise for you today. It's found in Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27.
For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes will behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
You know, friends, if we stay faithful, we will see Jesus, our Redeemer, in the flesh. You know, I can't wait till that day.
Me either.
I can't wait. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, as a result of today's content, we can't help but to look up towards heaven and say, I know my Redeemer lives. Thank you that you spoke to us this morning. Thank you that you did so through the song, through scripture, through every aspect of the program, Lord. We saw you. And we're so thankful. And we pray that you would carry us through this day in Jesus' name. Amen.